We, according to my watch, it is now 10:15. We'll move to the time certain items. We're going to read 1262 and 63 together, and we'll vote on 63 first when we get to it. But if you could read both of those items together, please. Mm-hmm.
1262, dissolve the Socially Responsible Investments Committee, and 1263, adopt City of Portland Investment Policy.
Colleagues, the City of Portland manages an investment portfolio of $1.9 billion that the fiscal year to date has earned $11.9 million in interest earnings, which helps to fund city programs and services. Our proposed investment policy is more restrictive than what state law currently requires. We've chosen to not include corporate issuers involved with industries such as fossil fuels, financial services, and the retail sale of firearms, allowing only a select list of highly rated securities. Corporate securities provide diversification and an opportunity to earn an additional yield over alternative investment types such as U.S. Treasuries and agency securities. We project that the addition of this select group of corporate issuers would potentially contribute between $900,000 and $1.5 million in additional annual investment earnings for the City of Portland. We appreciate the time and the effort that the Social Responsibility Investment Committee members devoted to attending meetings, studying the city's investment policy, and for providing thoughtful, objective feedback on a complex and multidimensional issue. Their participation has been critical in helping the City Council to continue its mission of promoting a prosperous, educated, healthy, and equitable community. In the interest of transparency, Treasury has posted the city's investment portfolio online since 2013. These month-end, line-by-line portfolio reports can always be found at www.portlandoregon.gov/BRFS. No, you will not remember that, but if you Google it, you'll find it. Click on the button that says Review, where the city's money is invested. With that, we have our finance team here, including Chief Financial Officer Jennifer Cooperman here today. Good morning. I don't know who's giving the presentation.
Bridget O'Callaghan.
Bridget is. Great. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. For the record, my name is Bridget O'Callaghan, and I am honored to be the Treasurer for the City of Portland.
Thank you, Bridget.
Thank you. I'm here today. First, I'd like to present the investment policy. That is item number 1263. Oregon law pertaining to the investment of public funds requires the city to adopt an investment policy annually. I'd like to highlight a few points as background. Some of these the mayor covered a moment ago. The investment policy outlines the framework and criteria for managing the city's investment program. The city's investment policy describes the framework and criteria for investing the city's cash assets. The city's policy is written in accordance with Oregon law, which is ORS 295.135, and is brought before council for adoption annually. That is our purpose today. The city's investment objectives are first to preserve the principal to ensure liquidity of the funds, and then to earn a market return for the city. Investment earnings make a significant financial contribution to the city's budget and to the programs and services that the bureaus provide. Investment earnings, net of an admin fee to cover Treasury's operating costs, are distributed to city funds. In fiscal year 2017-18, Treasury earned $25 million. Year-to-date fiscal 2018-2019 through October 31st, Treasury has earned $11.9 million. Treasury will continue to use its professional expertise and discretion to make investment portfolio decisions on behalf of the city. In the interest of transparency, as the mayor mentioned a moment ago, the city has posted our investment portfolio online since 2013. These are month-end, line-by-line portfolio reports and can be found at the city's website, portlandoregon.gov/BRFS. The investment policy before you today includes a number of housekeeping revisions that are intended to improve the clarity and readability of the policy itself. These are not material changes. Please see Exhibit A1 for a redline version of the document. The policy also contains a material change that would allow the city treasurer to invest in a select group of corporate issuers that are referenced in Appendix A of the policy, and I would direct your attention to Exhibit A2 for that. We are recommending a select list of high-quality issuers be added to the eligible list of investments for the city. The City of Portland's Treasury Division's analysis began, first of all, with the State of Oregon's law pertaining to the investment of public funds. The state's parameters would have allowed the City of Portland to potentially invest in a universe of 35 issuers. Our proposal is much more restrictive than the state law requires. We have chosen not to include corporate issuers involved in certain industries as fossil fuels, financial services, and the retail sale of firearms. We are proposing to allow a much smaller list of these highly rated securities. Corporate securities provide diversification and an opportunity to earn additional yield over alternative investment types such as treasuries and agency securities. We project that in addition to the select group of corporate issuers, we would potentially contribute between $900,000 and $1.5 million in investment earnings, and these funds would be available to bureaus to serve, to fund their services to the community. Thank you. With that, I will answer any questions.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you for your work, and thank you for bringing this. Could you clarify, I noticed I'm sure we'll get some discussion about the particular securities, the companies that you're suggesting we could invest in. I noticed one of them is Nike, and I'm wondering why not Columbia Sportswear, why not Under Armour, why not Adidas?
It really came down to starting with the universe of available securities under the Oregon Revised Statutes, and then from there narrowing the list down. So they were not on the top 10.
They actually, I don't believe, have securities that would even qualify under the ORS.
True.
So they're just not in the investable universe, even if we wanted to.
Thank you.
So, Madam Treasurer and Madam CFO, I want to make sure we're speaking in a way that people watching
understand.
And listening understand. Are you talking about buying stocks?
No.
What are you talking about?
We're talking about the debt, the commercial bonds that would be issued by these.
So we're not investing directly in the company. We're not taking ownership equity in any of the companies that
Correct.
We're investing in.
We're not allowed to
okay.
by state law.
So debt sounds risky.
Go ahead.
Debt can be risky, but you manage that by the parameters you put around the program, first of all. So we are only limiting ourselves to a very select list of highly rated issuers. We also monitor those. We are requiring that the ratings for these particular issuers be validated by two independent issuing rating agencies. So,
does it matter which two?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
It doesn't presently. We're just requiring two. Typically, it's one of the top three.
Okay.
So the state law requires a minimum of credit rating, and we've set a minimum AA. The city's investment policy goes one slight notch lower, and we're allowing AA-, but it does have to be at least two rating agencies with that rating or
okay.
higher.
So when we're talking about...
Just one other...
Sure.
But we've
yeah,
also
yeah.
added another criteria, which is that the bonds cannot be longer than 3 years. State law doesn't have a duration or a term limit for those securities. We've chosen to limit it to 3 years and under, which, again, limits our risk in owning those securities, and we're typically buy and hold. So the combination of a short term plus the high credit rating increases the likelihood that we will receive back principal at the time that that security matures. And that's how we get to the universe of only 35 names. If we didn't have that 3-year limit, the universe could potentially be larger.
Okay, and so just to sort of latch onto the question that was asked earlier, this isn't a criticism of, say, for example, I think somebody mentioned Columbia Sportswear. This is not a criticism of Columbia Sportswear or the business practices their vitality as a company. It is a technical question about the kind of debt instruments that they use.
Right.
And they are not eligible under state law.
Right. There are no securities that they have outstanding within that three-year window. If they came out this afternoon and issued five-year debt, we couldn't buy that either, even though it might have the right credit rating for us.
Great.
Right.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions? Public testimony?
Yes, we have 11 people signed up.
Very good. 2 minutes each. Name for the record, please. Thanks a lot.
The first three, please come on up, are Hung Nam, Adam Segal, and Will Singer.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Hung Nam. I'm one of the members of the Socially Responsible Investment Committee, and I'm actually quite disappointed that I contacted your office to be able to give invited testimony for longer than 3 minutes, and I, you know, despite multiple calls and emails, never even got a response. I have serious problems with this resolution. First of all, looking at your resolution.
Can I do this? I didn't get your email, but since you are a member of the committee, let's go ahead and give them 3 minutes, and I'm sure people will have questions.
Thank you.
I
appreciate
for that.
That.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.
Well, first of all, looking at the resolution in section 13 G, it's that whole column that says why the change is being made, and there's no rationale there for the change being made. And I don't know if we could put that up on the screen right now, but I'm really concerned about there's a major change being made here, and I see no rationale. And it seems like an odd time to be making this change. Treasury rates have just gone up pretty dramatically compared to what they've been at you know, near zero rates. And right now, investing in treasuries is financially sound and secure, whereas investing in corporate bonds is actually risky. When we talk about, you know, the three credit, there are basically three credit agencies that rate corporate bonds, and it's been well documented. They've completely failed with the rating mortgage-backed securities in 2006, 2007, 2008, right up until the crash. They rated many securities as AA, AAA that turned out to be filled with toxic assets. If had Portland been invested in these securities then, we would have lost money. Same is true with Enron, which, by the way, used to own PGE. Those bonds were also rated investment grade, and they also turned out to be bad. And so anyway, I seriously question relying on Moody's, S&P, and Fitch's credit ratings to make these investment decisions. But more importantly, there's been a long public process that has led to the creation of the Socially Responsible Investment Committee. Testimony from not only people in the climate justice movement, people in the human rights community, and so on, that have expressed serious concern. And I'm glad that you are maintaining this policy of not investing in fossil fuels and financial firms, and also adding on firearms. Why not adopt the investment policy that the committee that our committee submitted in September 2016 that also added several other companies, and really, you know, it would have no financial impact because all these companies, their bonds are not don't have the requisite credit ratings anyway, but it would really do the same thing that we're doing by not naming that we're not investing in fossil fuels and so on. It's part of a national and international boycott campaigns because these do make a major impact in making the kind of change that we want to see here in Portland and in the world.
So your time is up. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
The testimony we had prior to your testimony was these are corporate securities of 3 years duration that are highly rated and therefore are relatively safe. Which of the corporate securities on the list that's proposed before us, in your view, would we have lost money on?
You know, I'm not sure about which of these that we might have lost money on, but all I'm saying is that the whole system of these three credit ratings agencies getting paid by the same companies to rate their bonds has been well documented to be a conflict of interest that has led to the failure of rating Enron bonds accurately or rating mortgage-backed securities accurately. That has led to major losses.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for your time. My name is Adam Siegel. I'm with Jewish Voice for Peace, and the next few speakers are also members of Jewish Voice for Peace. And we're a member organization of Occupation Free Portland. More than a year ago, in April 2017, the council voted to end investments in corporate securities as they matured. One unfortunate result of that decision was the failure to call out nine corporations, the, quote, worst of the worst, for their bad behavior. In particular, JVP believed it was important to specifically identify Caterpillar Incorporated for egregious violations across multiple, quote, social and values concerns, cited in the Socially Responsible Investments Committee September 30th, 2016. Report. These included Caterpillar's role in Israel's illegal occupation of Palestinian lands, its violations of indigenous people's rights at Standing Rock, and its broad involvement in the extractive fossil fuel industry and direct contributions to catastrophic climate change. JVP Portland does not support the blanket ban on corporate securities. We support the targeted exclusion of investments in particular corporations based on clear and explicit criteria for socially responsible investments. The power of such a targeted exclusion is not simply in the divestment itself, but rather in the public statement about who is being excluded and why exactly the city of Portland refuses to invest in them. This is the city of Portland's chance to influence behavior of unethical corporations for the better. Caterpillar doesn't fear the loss of one city's investments. They do fear international embarrassment and a strong public statement against their complicity in human rights violations. We ask that you to consider that a truly progressive city would actively choose to make use of this power. As a personal thing, I just want to add, I wish I didn't have to say this, but I am proudly Jewish, and there's nothing anti-Semitic about me choosing to stand for Palestinian human rights. So thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Will Singer, also with Jewish Voice for Peace. It's our understanding that the mayor's new resolution and the two accompanying exhibits is that Portland will return to investing in corporate securities, but only those issued by the companies listed in the resolution. Those companies were apparently drawn from the Multnomah County's investment portfolio. Unfortunately, they were not chosen with public review. We in Jewish Voice for Peace find this unacceptable because the resolution returns the city to corporate investment without socially responsible investment screen, without the Socially Responsible Investments Committee to review and make recommendations based on explicit socially responsible investment criteria. It's good that the SRIC recommendations are reflected in the list of corporate securities allowed by the mayor's resolution, but that's almost meaningless without a clear statement of the basis for excluding those securities listed on the SRIC Do Not Buy list. The companies excluded here will not be hurt by losing out on Portland's investments. It's unlikely they will even notice. We believe that Portland should do more than just decline to invest. The city can use its voice to actively call out the unethical, destructive, or exploitive behaviors of powerful corporations. We don't want to be quiet about our socially responsible investment policy. We want to shout from the rooftops why Caterpillar is on the list, because we want other cities, other institutional investors, also deciding, hey, maybe we shouldn't be investing in mass murder, whether it's in Yemen or Gaza. We shouldn't be investing in companies that destroy the environment or cheat their workers. We only get that if we have clear and explicit criteria for our investments, clear and explicit criteria for rejecting companies like Caterpillar that profit off the suffering and dispossession of an entire people. Yes, at the hands of the Israeli government and military, supported by the U.S. government and our taxes. And we should not be afraid to say so.
Thank you.
The next three are Rod Such, Sandy Polishuk, and Aisha Lorenz Al-Said.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Rod Such, and I am also with Jewish Voice for Peace and Occupation Free Portland. And I want to start by thanking Commissioners Udaly and Fish for inviting us to suggest amendments to the resolution. And concretely, here are our suggested amendments. Amendment A, formally restore the 7 criteria that the city considers in making an investment so that the investment is evaluated on the basis of environmental concerns, health concerns, including weapons production, concerns about abusive labor practices, concerns about corrupt corporate ethics and governance, concerns about extreme tax avoidance, concerns about exercise of such a level of market dominance so as to disrupt normal competitive market forces, and concerns about impacts on human rights. Amendment B, formally restore the Socially Responsible Investments Committee so that it can receive public input on proposed corporate investments and make recommendations to the City Council. And finally, Amendment C, adopt and release to the media the report submitted by the SRIC dated September 30th, 2016. And regarding that last amendment, I think it also touches on a point of why did you create the committee in the first place? Why did you solicit expert opinion on the investment? And then just completely ignore the committee's report and findings. It's not a good precedent for inviting citizen participation in city government when you create a committee and then you simply ignore their findings. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor Wheeler, I do know your name, and commissioners. My name is Sandy Polishuk. I live in Northeast Portland. I represent 350 PDX. 350 PDX strongly advocates that our city align its investments with its values, just as we advocate for everyone to do. Portland has made us proud with its landmark planning and actions on climate change and sustainability, most recently by banning new fossil fuel infrastructure and vowing to transition to 100% clean energy by 2050. Proud again when at this year's C40 Summit, Portland was recognized with an award for its 2015 Climate Action Plan. Despite these bold actions, it took over 2 years from our first ask for this council to place fossil fuels on its Do Not Buy list. While we supported that action, our ask remains a straight-out resolution to permanently commit to divestment from fossil fuel investments, as Multnomah County, Metro, Eugene, Corvallis, Ashland, Seattle, San Francisco, Berkeley, Oakland, Fremont, Richmond, Palo Alto, and Santa Monica, and many other cities across our nation have done. The fossil fuel divestment campaign was launched in the fall of 2012 by 350.org to cut off the financing and social license of the fossil fuel industry. In these 6 years, divestment commitments of over $7 trillion have been made, 15% by governmental entities. The urgency of keeping fossil fuels in the ground has only grown with time. 350 PDX urges you to recognize this urgency and return to your offices and begin the process of drafting Portland's fossil fuel divestment resolution for quick passage. It will not be difficult. There are many models to draw from.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. I'm Aisha Lorenz Al-Said, member of Jewish Voice for Peace, as well as Americans United for Palestinian Human Rights and Muslim Community Center of Portland, among other groups. The resolution does omit the 9 corporations recommended for the Do Not Buy list by SRIC. This is a welcome development. However, we believe that not including clear and explicit socially responsible investment criteria in this resolution virtually guarantees that Portland's corporate securities investments will not align with the values of all Portlanders. Indeed, while those corporations listed in the resolution may have not sunk to the level of the worst, there are well-grounded, reasonable, ethical objections to investments, even to this short select list. It's also very telling that some major groups are united in opposing this. Thank you for this opportunity to present our views.
Thank you.
The next three are Peter Miller, Dan Handelman, and Maggie.
Dan, do you want to start, please?
I'm going to let Peter go first.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. My name is Peter Miller. I'm with Americans United for Palestinian Human Rights, and I was part of the campaign to engage the Socially Responsible Investment Committee on the investments in the Do Not Buy list. And while I appreciate that the companies that were identified on the Do Not Buy list are not a part of the investments, I have to echo sentiments that were expressed already that it was highly desirable to keep social responsible investment criteria as part of a city policy, that there is a value in calling out companies for their bad behavior, because that's how one of the impacts, the most positive impact you can have in declining to invest in companies, explain why, hopefully, they would do better in the future if possibly can. I also suggest that the Social Responsible Investment Committee was a very valuable part of the city policy. The people working in that were diligent. They did a lot of work for the city as volunteers. The work was very valuable. They provided citizen input, and I would sure like to see that committee continued. One of the aspects I think the city council found onerous was the amount of time it took for the city council. But just like with the treasurer, you give them guidelines, and if the treasurer makes the detailed decisions on what to invest in, you should empower the Social Responsible Investment Committee to make those decisions, and you basically, you know, give them the power to make the screens not take up your time, that you have a good system there. So I think you should continue it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor Wheeler and commissioners, I'm Dan Handelman, and I'm talking on behalf of the parent group of Portland Cop Watch, Peace and Justice Works, which signed a letter last year supporting the disinvestment from corporations with bad ethics. And I want to echo all the statements that have already been made that this new ordinance doesn't seem to list the criteria of what we want to see corporations do if we're going to be investing in them at all. I can't even see if the three criteria that were listed about firearms and fossil fuels listed in the ordinance itself. I'm not sure where those are written down. In the broader sense of things, I mean, I'm not understanding how buying debt works, but it does seem like you should be investing in something that's a little bit less risky if you're going to invest the people's money. And if corporations have extra money to throw around and give back to corporations, they should be paying their workers better instead. And with the list of corporations that are already on there, and somebody already mentioned their reasons not to invest in them, we at Peace and Justice Works often work with people in the animal rights movement, and several of them are well known to be using animal testing, and that's something that could probably be listed to the, you know, as one of the criteria that you shouldn't invest in if you would let a socially responsible investment committee continue to meet and make recommendations. So, again, you really should have a list of ethical criteria, not just financial criteria, and that's the only thing I really heard discussed here this morning.
Okay, I'm united with Jews for Peace, I think, and also with the, you know, non-investment in fossil fuels. And here's how you can take it even further, is you can melt down all those fossil, those engines that run on fossil fuel that the state uses to get around and replace them with electric engines. And also, you can take all those oil, gas-run leaf blowers, and you can get rid of those, and you can start using old-fashioned sweepers with handles on them. And now I know that cities and states like to, you know, have people bring their latest technology, and let's face it, fossil fuel is old technology, and they like to support people by buying their stuff. But the thing is, you could put more sweepers on the street and have them sweeping longer with just a simple broom handle and you know, a broom. And the streets will get cleaner, because I see these guys go around with their leaf blowers, and, you know, they aren't blowing anything away. The stuff's still there when they leave. And I just think they're an environmental hazard. They're noisy. We don't need them. And it's a lot cheaper to replace a broom than it is one of those expensive leaf blowers that runs on fossil fuel.
Thank you.
The last person who signed up is Lynn Marie Kreider.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler, members of the council. My name is Lynn Marie Kreider. I live in Northeast Portland. I'm a lawyer retired from work in the public and private sectors. While I applaud and appreciate the work of the drafters of the policy have done to clarify the 2017 policy and appreciate the city treasurer's enumeration of the criteria used to select entities listed in Exhibit A, I testify to raise concerns about two aspects of the proposal. Number one, the choice not to incorporate into the policy the city's 2015 resolution forbidding investment in the world's largest fossil fuel dependent corporations, and the choice to approve investment in a handful of massive corporations and to prohibit investment in all others without reference to any articulated guidelines for selecting entities in which the city may invest. I've submitted written testimony. I'll address only the first of my points here. In 2015, the city, along with the county, adopted a policy to divest from fossil fuels as part of the city's contribution to the urgent problem of global warming and climate change. The resolution stated that the city shall not directly invest additional assets in corporate debt securities issued by the companies on a list referenced there. I suggest that the policy before you should be amended to include such language within the policy. Otherwise, what you have done is to adopt a policy that fails to identify the only criteria the council has actually adopted in the past. And I believe that at the very least, the council owes the staff and its advisory bodies, as well as the citizens, some confidence that you continue to abide by the resolution that you adopted previously.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. Does that complete public testimony?
That's all who signed up.
Could
yes.
we have the treasurer or the chief financial officer come back? I'm sure there'll be some follow-up questions. So let me ask you this question. We've had this conversation in private. If you stipulate general criteria, such as several people have suggested, then you raise the question of which companies. If you state the companies, I think we can acknowledge that for every company you name, I can find something reprehensible about it. How do you balance those two? Why did you choose to specifically choose company and not adopt, say, investment in a socially responsible bond fund that has established criteria? How did you weigh those decisions?
So state law does not allow us to invest in funds. We're only allowed to invest in individual securities. So whether it is a list of securities that we're not allowed to buy, which is what we tried to do before, or a list now of the companies we are allowed to buy, at some point, the fiduciary decision is yours to approve that list. So the SRIC, when it was meeting, was tasked with coming up with recommendations. there was a reference to the time that was spent in city council meetings. I would suggest to you that the SRIC came up with recommendations, but at the end of the day, it's still your decision whether to adopt or not adopt those recommendations, so the time spent in front of you will still happen. So historically, the approach was a do-not-buy list, which got controversial for various reasons. We've tried to take a more positive approach this time and say these are the names, only the names, that the city treasurer will be allowed to consider and have it be framed in a more positive light. And if I could touch on a couple of comments that people made.
Sure.
The fossil fuel policy that the city and the county passed a couple of years ago somewhat simultaneously still exists. So that hasn't been abandoned. That still is in force. Secondly, there's value in diversification, and for that reason, along with the additional income, that's an underlying reason why we're proposing adding back corporate securities as an eligible investment. In prior years, when the federal government was dealing with a debt ceiling and there were questions about whether or not even the federal government would make payment on its outstanding securities, we looked at ourselves and said, well, we know that the corporations will pay. So that, not that I think that the federal government will ever not pay, but it is one of those things that's talked about when there are debt ceiling concerns and there is value for diversification in the city's portfolio. And lastly, there was also a comment about paying rating agencies, that the companies that are using the rating agencies are the ones who are paying for the rating agencies' work. We're in a similar boat in that we pay Moss Adams to do the financial audit of the city, but we trust that they have integrity and that they are independent and that they are being hired to do a job, even if that information coming back to us is negative. So there's a broader question about the payment for outside services of all of these entities, and that there are other situations aside from just rating agencies where it is the company that is benefiting from the work that is paying for that work.
How often does the investment policy or the investment policies of the city, how often does that come before the council?
Once a year, annually.
Calendar year.
And I presume this would be part of that public discussion?
That's correct. If adopted today, this list could be reviewed by council at least annually or at your discretion, certainly. You would have the control to add and subtract names from that list.
Thank you.
But so just so I'm clear, to Jennifer Cooperman, the fossil fuel screen that you alluded to has been applied by you and the city treasurer to reach these 12 securities?
Yes.
So this, we've gone from a do not buy to a potentially do buy list, but you've applied the screen that we've adopted, the city and the county have, and so they would not be on the list if they otherwise didn't meet that policy screen.
Correct, because the resolution that was passed, I think it was in 2015, I may have my years wrong, because that resolution is still in place, the one that disallowed further investment in the carbon tracker top 200.
And how did you determine that under this new investment strategy, we might have as much as $1,500,000 of additional income to invest?
Go ahead.
Yeah, that was really based upon looking at the current market, what's available out there. We have to recognize that even though a name may be on the list, securities may not be available for us to purchase. So we were looking at the active market today and what we might be able to purchase based upon the current market.
And there is a limitation in state law about it, a 5% limitation per name. So the assumption was made that we take the current property tax money that is coming into the city and is waiting to be invested, that we, as quickly as we can, invest that money in what corporate securities were allowed to purchase, and based on current interest rate spreads, the forecast was developed.
Commissioner Fritz.
Would there be any harm when we do this next year, either putting in the resolution or in the policy about the we don't buy fossil fuels, we don't buy weapons, we don't buy other things? since it's
We'd
not.
We'd certainly be open to that. Yes.
I would like to add cigarette and tobacco products as well, because that's not on the list. I mean, that's none of these companies are involved in that either. But that's. I think there's a way to both state our values in the policy and in the ordinance and still be clear and objective and transparent about what we are giving you the authority to buy, but not actually not telling you to buy any of these. Right. Thank you.
Any further questions? Very good. I'd like to call the roll on 1263, please.
You Daly.
So this is the adoption of the City of Portland investment policy?
Yes. That's correct. 1263.
Okay. Well, first I want to thank the SRIC for their hard work on this issue. I wasn't here when this committee formed. I only got to engage with them for a few months before council's action last year. I agree that the decision to dissolve the committee and the controversy around their work was disappointing, and it doesn't really serve to inspire community members to get involved with the city when they don't feel that their hard work is being valued or respected. I am somewhat heartened to see that none of the companies on their do not buy list made it through our new proposed greening criteria. At least there's a final fitting tribute in there for SRIC. I want to thank the mayor and the mayor's staff, the treasurer, and the CFO for their work on this new investment policy. It's a significant improvement over our past policies as well as what had been proposed last year. Our decision not to invest in corporate securities last year was actually one of my favorite moments at City Council. It was what I imagined council could or should be like. I think that, well, I can't speak for all of us, but I imagine at least a few of us walked into that room thinking we were pretty clear on how we were going to be voting. But after listening to public testimony, and it was a lot more testimony than this, and deliberation, we came up with an unexpected solution, which is to simply not invest in corporate securities. That is what I strongly prefer we continue to do, because our investable universe, which I love that term, by the way, thank you, still includes many bad actors and few truly ethical corporations. I understand the financial benefits involved in this item. It's a significant amount of money, up to $1.5 million a year. And while a small percentage of our overall budget, it's substantial and shouldn't be dismissed or taken lightly. However, I have concerns about profiting through relationships with corporations whose values are not in line with our own. What's missing from this calculation is the cost of what these companies do to our workers, to our economy, and to the environment. These are called externalities, as the mayor shared with me yesterday, although I am familiar with that phrase. I'm more inclined to call them collateral damage, although I think that term might be too generous because it suggests that those harmed are unintended targets, and these companies know full well the damage that they're wreaking on our workers and on our environment. So, to sum it all up, until our allowable corporate securities issuer list is solely comprised of ethical, environmentally conscious corporations that treat their workers fairly, I cannot support moving forward with this plan. I vote no.
Thank you, Jennifer Cooperman, Bridget O'Callaghan, for your work on this. Thank you to the Socially Responsible Investment Committee and for all the members of the community who spoke today, for all your work. We all care about this. And we are operating in a place of huge privilege, having $1.5 billion to invest and a responsibility to make interest so that we can serve more Portlanders. And I was disappointed that we didn't get to the mayor's proposal last year of using a socially responsible investment company who we wouldn't know how they were making their decisions, but we would be confident that they were looking at all of the criteria. And that plan was rejected by the council because of the lack of transparency. So what we have here is a very transparent list of companies, which probably every single one of them has been found to do practices which don't align with our values. But as I said, we don't have the we shouldn't use our privilege to make a stand that may, in the abstract or even in the long term, provide some satisfaction to those who are wanting to call out particular companies, to call out particular practices. We are responsible for bringing Portlanders together and providing city services. And to have another $1 million to do that is a lot of people kept in housing or gotten into housing. It's a lot of people provided with the city services that they need desperately. And that is very persuasive to me. That is the most important thing to me, is providing services to the people of Portland. So I do hope that when we do this next year that we will have more language that speaks to Portland's values, and that obviously there'll be continued review of these companies, and there is a financial investment committee within the city that looks at, should we buy any of these? And that's how I believe we should be making this decision. We should be bringing Portlanders together and providing the services that they need. Aye.
Fish.
Well, this has been a good hearing, and I appreciate that both the CFO and the city treasurer have made clear to us that we have a fiduciary duty to set the city's investment policy. After listening to testimony and reviewing the materials that our very capable professionals working for the city have given us, I'm inclined to give you both the benefit of the doubt in terms of the policy change that you're proposing. Here are a couple of factors in my thinking. First, I like this idea of moving from a do not buy to a universe of potentially do buy. Although when I say do buy, I'm not talking about a foreign country. I'm talking about the do buy list. I think it in some ways simplifies our task, and it gives us a chance annually to revisit the question. And it certainly does not preclude us from incorporating a set of additional screens in any resolution that comes before us annually. Number two is, I'm persuaded that this is a very conservative set of investment criteria which will protect the city's assets, and I appreciate the mayor, a former state treasurer, engaging in a colloquy with our professional team about the difference between purchasing a bond or a security, a stock, and the different risks. So it, I think, is an appropriately conservative set of investment criteria. I like the fact that it provides some liquidity to meet the city's cash needs. And if anyone who was here for yesterday's work session, whether there's a recession in a year, year and a half or not, we have some very compelling needs in our community for which we don't have the resources to fund at this point. And I also like the idea of being able to generate a market rate of return for a limited number of investment options. So as I consider all the factors that we've discussed at this, I think, very informative hearing, again, I'm persuaded to give the CFO and the city treasurer the benefit of the doubt. If we don't have the right mix, then in future years we can revisit this question. But I think this is a policy change which has a lot of solid thinking behind it, and I'm prepared to accept your guidance. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, my preference would still be to stay where we were, where we arrived at last year, which was to not invest in corporate bonds. But I do think that there's been a lot of homework done, and I also see that, you know, there is the returns that can be obtained by doing this is important for meeting other city goals. And I think the CFO and the treasurer have done a lot of good work here and coming up with a finite list of corporate bonds that we would purchase. So I'm going to support this. But you know, my main concern why we did that amendment last year was that, you know, I don't want to see the council spending inordinate amount of time debating the pros and cons of a given corporation. I have full respect for the corporate divestment groups and activists, a lot of respect for them, but I also think that this council can't become judge and jury for corporations one at a time. It's too time consuming, and it's peripheral to what we're here to do. But I am going to support these changes, and we'll see what happens. Hi.
Wheeler.
I want to thank the treasurer, and I want to thank the chief financial officer for working for the better part of a year on this policy, evaluating different ideas, different proposals, looking at different jurisdictional options, and settling on what I think is actually ultimately a conservative and fiscally responsible approach to the city that also encompasses what I believe are socially responsible standards for investing. This will evolve with time. As was mentioned during testimony, this comes back to the council on a regular basis or as frequently as we want it to come back to the council. There was some good testimony about adopting previously existing responsibility standards. I think that'll be a live conversation over the course of the next year and beyond. But as far as I'm concerned, this is a significant step in the right direction from where we were before, and I appreciate your hard work. I vote aye. The resolution's adopted. Please call the roll on 1262.
Hugh Daly.
I just want to reiterate my appreciation for the SRIC and all the individuals that served on that committee. While I wish that we were keeping the committee intact, we have now replaced the committee with a different vetting process, making the committee somewhat unnecessary or redundant. So I regretfully vote yes.
Fritz.
Thank you very much to everyone on the committee and everybody who put such a lot of passion into this issue. It's obviously a very important one to all of us. We now have replaced the balancing with a list, and I think it's important not to ask community members to participate with unrealistic expectations. And we did have such a lot of discussion at the council about the committee's recommendation, and ultimately the council didn't go in the direction the committee wanted. That I think it would be better use of community members' time to do what 350 PDX did in bringing us a specific policy on fossil fuels. There may be others that we could adopt as resolutions which would then carry forward into coming up with the list for future councils. And so I encourage community members to do that. Aye.
Fish.
Yeah, I want to join with my colleagues in thanking the members of the committee for their service. And I take to heart one of the criticisms we heard in the testimony about sort of asking a group of citizens to take on a task and then yanking the rug out from under them. And we have to make sure that we don't make a habit of doing that. But based on the action we've taken on the prior matter, it does seem that this is the appropriate course of action. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The resolution is adopted. Thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Next item.